John chapter 14 and verse 16. We're back online. Welcome to those who are joining us online. Hopefully it remains strong. Praise the Lord. This is an important message, and I think it's going to really bless you. John 14 in verse 16. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. I love the way that it reads. You have your Bibles, get there, and let's read this together. John 14, 16. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth. Everybody say, Holy Spirit. He will be to you a friend just like me, and He will never leave you. The world won't receive Him because they can't see Him or know Him, but you know Him intimately, because He remains with you and He will live inside of you. I promise I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans, but I will come back to you. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment and let's just pray and ask the Lord's hand over this message right now. Mighty God, I just thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your spirit that's already been evident in this time today. And Lord, we just welcome you now to begin to move and minister by your Holy Spirit. I invite you, Lord, I ask you to anoint me, that I would preach with authority and under the anointing of your Holy Spirit as I ought to. And that, mighty God, you would anoint every listener within the sound of my voice, that we would be able to hear and receive what your Spirit is speaking today. And even now, I bind the works of the enemy, he who would seek to distract or disrupt or uproot the word as it comes forward. Lord, we ask for a liberty in receiving your word today. And we pray these things in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen, amen and amen. Well, you may be seated. Hallelujah. We began now, actually almost a month ago, we had a couple guest speakers. I began almost a month ago a series called Relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's been awesome. I've loved hearing your testimonies and feedback. People have been coming and just sharing with me their newfound revelation in the person of the Holy Spirit. We talked in week one about communion. Everybody say communion. We talked about communion with the Holy Spirit. It was a teaching from Paul out of 2 Corinthians 13. And what it means to have the Holy Spirit's presence and continual fellowship with Him. We talked about how Holy Spirit wants to do life with every single one of us. He wants to work with us and be God's hand extended into the world. We talked about intimacy and friendship with the Holy Spirit. My biggest thing is I just want us to walk with an awareness that Holy Spirit wants to be with you. Holy Spirit wants to do life with you. Last week, I laid a case for it was really a theology kind of teaching about why we believe the Holy Spirit is a person. Everybody say, He's a person. Do you know that? If you don't know that, you can listen to last week's message. I talked about how Holy Spirit actually has a mind. He thinks independently even of the Father and the Son. He has a will. He has emotions. He can be lied to. He can be pleased. He can be grieved. He has a will. He wants to be a helper, a teacher, a comforter, a guide, and so many other things in our life. And what I wanted to do today, I was in prayer, and this is almost a week and a half ago, but the Lord spoke to me so clearly. And this is what I felt like the instruction was for this Sunday. I felt like the Lord instructed me to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. To introduce you to the Holy Spirit. You understand what I mean? Many people walk with this understanding that, oh, Holy Spirit is the goosebump that I feel. Holy Spirit is the warmth that I feel. Holy Spirit's the reason that people fall down on the ground. Or Holy Spirit is, the power behind the miracle. And all of those things may be true to a degree. But even this last Thursday, I have a friend who I invited, him and his family. They're here and they're vacationing right now. And I introduced you on Thursday night to my very good friend, Ryan. How many of you have been able to meet Ryan in one of these over the last week or so? And I introduced you to him. I'm like, this is my friend, Ryan. He'll probably be here in the second service. And you know, it just, you get to know the person that I've known for many years now. And in the exact same way, I felt like the instruction of the Lord wasn't just to show you necessarily the power or why we feel certain things, but to actually introduce you to the person of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say person. Holy Spirit is a person, okay? So I want to come from a slightly different perspective today. I think this will really bless you. And I wanted to talk specifically today about what Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus actually say about Holy Spirit? What did he teach us that the Holy Spirit would do? I've got three things for you this morning, all coming from the book of John. And this is what Jesus said. First of all, Jesus said, number one, that Holy Spirit is a life giver. Holy Spirit is a life giver. For those of you taking notes, this is our first point. Holy Spirit is a life giver. And we see this in John chapter 7 in verse 37. In fact, you might just stay open to the book of John and you can turn to the various places that I referenced today. John 7, 37. It says this, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Everybody say, rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is about 7 months before Jesus would be crucified, and about 9 months really before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would be poured out. But Jesus was telling them one of the things that Holy Spirit would come to do, that he would be a life giver. Now, most of us understand the idea of living water, how Jesus can fill us and he can satisfy us in a way that nobody, that no other thing in the world can. How many of you have had that experience where you were at one time so empty, you knew you had a void in your soul, but there was that moment where God touched you, where he came into your life, and now you've got this fullness and this satisfaction that you never had when you were in the world? How many of you have had that experience? I believe, in fact, let me give you just, this is a bonus point for you, a great evangelistic tool. Pull on that desire in people. I am convinced that every single person on this planet has that empty void on the inside of them. And they may try and fill it with a relationship or with a substance or some other false religion, but you'll find that they are empty on the inside. There is something that only our God can fill in the lives of people. But now this is interesting. Can I teach you for just a moment? I never saw this until about a year ago. I saw this in my studies. But Jesus, you'll find that there's significance. Always pay attention when they, you know, you'll say, it says on the last day of the great feast. So it's actually telling us when and where Jesus was. And it does this for a reason. Because you understand Jesus, he'll always use kind of the setting that people are in as a means to communicate a message. For example, in John chapter 4, you have the woman at the well, and he comes, and she, you know, she's hungry, or she's thirsty rather, and Jesus begins to appeal to her thirst. She says, are you thirsty? If you're thirsty, then I will give you living water that will satisfy you. In a similar sense, John chapter 6, Jesus multiplied bread. And then the people come back and they want more bread. And Jesus says, are you guys hungry? I have an eternal satisfying bread that I can give to you. And so Jesus is always using these kinds of examples. So here in this passage, Jesus is now at what we call the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And what they would do actually during this time is they would set up little tents all over the place, and they would do it in remembrance of the children of Israel in the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. Okay, and so what they would do is they would set up these booths, and we'll actually recognize this in just a few weeks. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, I believe, is 3 weeks from right now. And so we honor that. We'll receive an offering. We'll do that kind of thing. But one thing that happened, now this is awesome, and I want to explain to you. Leviticus 23:33 actually outlines what this feast and celebration. Pay attention to what I'm going to say. I know I'm teaching, but this is going to be really cool. They were there for a week. They set up these little prayer booths and tabernacles, and they would celebrate. And once a day, what they would do is they would go down by the river and they would take fruit from what they call goody trees. I don't know what that is. Goody, do you know what a goody tree is? They would go and get fruit from the goody tree. They would break off branches from palm trees. They would take branches from thick trees. This is all in Leviticus 23. They would take willows that grew by the brook, and they would take all of these branches, these fruits, these palms, and they would march up to the temple. So all of the people in Israel would do this. They would go up to the temple. They would go up to the altar, and they would hold them out. They would make a tunnel almost, as they would hold up the branches and the palms, and they'd scatter some on the ground from the brook all the way up to the altar. You guys got the picture so far. And so what would happen is the priest would start here at the altar. You just imagine if this was happening right here, and we've got this thing that's going all the way down, and all of you guys are standing and you're making a line, and there's a river down just a little ways. And the priest would then take a golden bowl, and he would go straight out. There was actually a gate called the water gate in the temple. They would go through the water gate, and they would fill up that bowl with 2 pints of water. And he would come back into the temple, and he would take that pitcher of water, and he would recite Isaiah 12:3. And this is what Isaiah 12:3 says: with joy he shall draw water from the well of salvation. And so they would draw this water, and the priest would then pour out the water at the base of the altar and let it run down and through this this archway that the people are making. And so he would pour it out, and as the water would begin to flow down, the people would literally begin to sing Psalm 113 and Psalm 118, which are all psalms of hallelujah, declarations of God's goodness. And then, so you guys got the picture. So here is it's a neat picture. It's a great representation. And what would happen is on the final day of celebration, what they would do is they would do everything that I've just outlined for you. Line up the things, go get the bowl of water. They would pour it out. They would sing the song. They would quote the verse. And then all of the people would take their sticks and their branches and all of this, and they would march around the altar 7 times. And they would do this again in remembrance of how many times they went around Jericho and when God gave them victory. So you just picture this. They're singing songs about the water that comes from the wells of salvation. They're marching around. They're making a covering over the priest of the house. And in the midst of this, Jesus stands up. In the Greek word there is ekkrazon. He literally yelled at the top of his lungs. As all of this ceremony is going on, Jesus yells, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Do you understand what Jesus is doing here? He's literally saying, this ceremony is cool. It's a picture. But if you want to be satisfied, you need to come to me and drink. The well of salvation that is being drawn from is not found in this altar. It's not found in this river down here. It is found in me. Now, this is absolutely incredible. And so it begs a couple different questions, because honestly, even what Jesus said, it really summarizes the whole gospel if you look at it. If anyone thirsts, now, you know what that's talking about? Our need. How many of you would say, I'm thirsty for the Lord? I recognize my need for the Lord. This is the very first thing that draws us into the house of God. We're always in a place where we understand, I need Jesus. I need him to work in my life. I need him to save my soul. I need him to restore my marriage. I need him to heal my body. People always come to Jesus out of a place of need. And Jesus said, if you recognize that you are thirsty, then what does he say? Come to me. Come to me. This is where a lot of people fail. You can go talk to a lot of miserable people that know they have needs in their lives. But boy, I could never step foot in the church because, I mean, I've heard people say the church would burn down if I stepped foot in there. Right? They feel like they got to fix their life before they can come to Jesus. That's the opposite of what needs to happen. It's the opposite of what needs to happen. I came to church because I was sick. And I knew it. I needed a savior, and I knew it. That's why. And encourage people in that. If you see somebody who's got a desperate need in their life, you just encourage them. Come to Jesus. You've got heavy burdens. You've got things that you're carrying. I want you to come to Jesus. He invites us. But then there's another thing, actually. He says, I recognize I'm thirsty, and I come to church, and I go to the meeting, and I respond to the altar call. But you understand, there's individuals that even they recognize their need, and they came to Jesus, and yet they were not saved. They did not receive the life-giving power that Jesus has taught. The rich young ruler is a great example. He recognized there was some need. He recognized there's eternity, and I want to make sure that I make it into heaven. And Jesus begins to challenge him. He comes to Jesus and he says, listen, are you willing to lay down the wealth that you so trust in, that is your identity is wrapped up in? And that young man was not willing to lay down his wealth. I don't think the Lord would have actually made him do it to begin with, but the fact was that he wasn't even willing to consider it. The Bible says that he went away sorrowful. So he came to Jesus, and yet he did not receive this life-giving power. And so there's a third thing that we must do. We need to come to Jesus. And you know what you got to do? We need to drink. We need to receive what Jesus has. This is what he says, John 4:14, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, but the water that I will give him will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But it doesn't stop there, because here we just read a moment ago that out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This is what they were enacting when they came into the temple. This is what they were doing. It's not just get you some living waters and now you're filled. Listen, if we do this thing right, we become a supplier of water to other people that are desperately in need. Most of us are not this. Most of us are, we're like, my heart drips living water, maybe. We're like stagnant storage tanks of water when we're supposed to be a river of living water. People should get around you and feel the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit operating through your life. You understand, I feel like my number one job description, my number one, I shepherd people, I preach messages, you know, I love and I study and we take care of the church, and there's a lot of things that are in my job description. But you want to know what I feel like my number one job description is? To come to Jesus. To drink of that living water. Not just enough that I stay saved and I make sure I make it into heaven, but I drink to the degree that when people come within the realm of this ministry, when they come into my office for counseling or mentoring or whatever it may be, that I have the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit in abundance enough to begin to flow out of my life. But listen, it's not just for pastors and prayer workers and ministers and full-time leaders. It's for every single person who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thirsty? If you're thirsty, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and drink. Not just enough to fill yourself. Don't dam up what the Lord desires to release and pour out in and through your life. We're going to come to him. We're going to drink. This is what Jesus is inviting. And you know what's so awesome? You want to know how this happens? We read it just a moment ago in verse 37. He spoke this concerning the Spirit. Those who believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. But let me just tell you, Holy Spirit has been given now. Do you want to know, when you come to Jesus and you begin to drink and you feel that feeling and that refreshing and things begin to flow out of you, you understand that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? That's Holy Spirit that's beginning to operate in and through you. My family and I have found a new love lately. And you know what it is? It's cooking shows. My wife and kids have actually, they've been watching for a while, but I just never did, because I'd watch the shows and I'd get hungry. And it just kind of irritate me, you know? And so, we started watching MasterChef. I don't know, that's just the one that hooked me, right? And I'm watching Gordon Ramsay and all these guys. And you know, I'm sitting there, and this is what ends up happening. I'm sitting there and I'm watching MasterChef. Any of you guys watch cooking shows, cooking comedy? It's awesome, right? But here's the problem with it. You just sit there and you're watching them make like these beautiful, like, you know, thick steaks. Like, wow, I don't even know where you buy something like that. You know, incredible cuts of salmon, you know, amazing desserts. Just stuff that'll just make you drool. In fact, I know I'm making some of you hungry right now just thinking about it. I mean, just the most incredible food. And here's the problem. I sit there and I get hungry. Because it's not just enough for me to watch this thing. It's like, I want a steak now. And I feel like, and you know, you go get a bowl of Cheerios. It just will not satisfy you when you're watching all of this incredible gourmet food that's being made. And, the point of me even sharing this, you understand, Jesus doesn't want you to just be an observer. That's why he stood up in the temple there. Like, listen, guys, this ritual that you guys are doing, that's great. But you're watching what you could experience in me. You're just watching and going through a ritual of what you could have in the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to invite us in just a moment. We're gonna get the opportunity not just to hear a sermon about this life-giving power, but I want to give us all the opportunity to receive it. Maybe you've received a touch from the Holy Spirit sometime in your life, but for whatever reason, that river has gone dry and you just find that you're like that dripping. Nobody likes a dripping faucet, you know. You ever have a dripping faucet in your house? We had a bathtub in our house in Texas that just, like, we would repair that thing. We'd call the plumber, and within hours, that thing would just start dripping again. It was the most obnoxious thing. You'd hear it when you were sleeping. It was the most annoying thing. Don't be a drippy faucet. But a running river is amazing. It's life-giving. You just want to hang out by running water, don't you? Let's be that. Amen. Here's the second thing Jesus said. Jesus said, Holy Spirit will live with and in you. Holy Spirit will live with and in you. You'll see this in John chapter 14. And in verse 16, this is what it says. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Everybody say, abide with me forever. You know what abide means, right? He's going to be with us forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. And this is what he says. He dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Oh, I'm telling you, as excited as I got about the first point, this one's even better in my opinion. You understand, Jesus is preparing them. He's about to ascend. He's about to leave. He's about to go to heaven. And today he's making intercession for us. He's preparing a place for us. But he said that he would send the Holy Spirit to us. Did you know that Jesus himself is a baptizer with the Holy Ghost? Do you know that? I mean, this is really important. I'm not the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray for people in a few minutes if you want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But here's the deal. Pastor Jacob's not the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. You think about the most anointed man or woman of God that you know, they are not the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and he says, his sandal straps, I'm not even worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You understand? What happens is, You know, there's roles that each, part of the Trinity, each person in the Trinity plays. Holy Spirit, He'll give us things. You know, He'll give us gifts, healing, prophecy, miracle. The Father God gives us gifts. You can read about those in Ephesians chapter 4. He gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The Bible says the Father actually gives those. Did you know that my wife and I are a gift from God straight to you? Did you know that? And that means that, you know, you're a gift to us as well. But I love this. But, you know, the Spirit, He gives us faith. But this is what's amazing. What is Jesus doing? Jesus, I get this picture. Because the Bible says that He is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And that word baptized means to be immersed in, surrounded with, filled by, transformed by. And it's all a gift. This is what I just picture. I picture even right now, Jesus looking over the balcony of heaven, looking down at King's Chapel in Lahaina, because I've already prayed and I've already told Him what I'm getting ready to do. And I see Jesus looking over, and as soon as people by faith begin to respond and say, I want relationship with the Holy Spirit, I want to be filled, I want to be baptized, Jesus begins to say, Holy Spirit, now. Holy Spirit, fill them. Holy Spirit, touch them right there in Lahaina. That's what Jesus does. He's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, I love this. And you know what's beautiful about this? I feel the presence of God this morning. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said that He's going to come and He's going to remain. He's going to abide with us. You understand, this was a new line of thinking. I mean, we've grown up, many of us, we've grown up in Spirit-filled circles. We've grown up watching televangelists. We see the activity of the Holy Spirit all around us. But understand, in the Old Testament, it wasn't really like that. In fact, you can read the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, Daniel was a prophet. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And the Spirit of God would give him visions or dreams or prophetic words. And there's two different occasions for the prophet Daniel where the Lord is speaking to him, showing him things. And after the vision is gone, after the Lord has spoken to him, what He's wanted to show him, the Spirit of God lifts. And the Bible says in two different places that Daniel actually became sick because of the way I interpreted the physical strain that came on his body in these incredible visions that the Lord would show him. But you know what's incredible? Today, Holy Spirit doesn't just touch us and then leave. Jesus said if we would receive it, the Holy Spirit would come and He would remain with us forever. He would be in us, and He would be with us. That's absolutely incredible. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. In fact, Romans chapter 8 became a life verse for me. I grew up fatherless, like many of you. Maybe you grew up without a father or mother. Maybe you grew up without either. You were an orphan. And you grew up and you don't, I don't know what it's like to have a father. I don't know what it's like to have a mother. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit of God would be to us a spirit of adoption. Literally adopt us. And so we could cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. That's what He wants. And guess what? Guess what, church? He's not going to leave us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to leave you like your parents left you. He's not going to abandon you in a time of need. Holy Spirit wants to come and abide with you forever. What a blessing. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Someone say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live in and with you. Here's the third one. We close with this. Number three, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses. Jesus said the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses. This is what He said in John 15, 26. When the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me, and you will bear witness. Everybody say witness. Because you have been with Me from the beginning. So this is what's so awesome about this. They can come to Jesus. We can be satisfied. But what the thing is here, they have not yet received the Spirit. What it talks about in Acts 1:8, again, it's another word that Jesus said. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. This, you know what that is, church? That's the river that begins to flow through us. You understand, the moment you believe, I write about this in my book, God's Will. I lay out the theology. The moment you believe, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. Doesn't matter if you're a Baptist. Doesn't matter if you're a believing, born-again Catholic. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately the Holy Spirit comes into your life. This is why even people in non-Pentecostal circles are able to discern the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But there's something different and there's something unique that I absolutely love about the Spirit-filled church of which we are. Because we receive, you understand what Jesus said, that he would abide with you. He would be in you and he would be with you. I feel like many outside of Spirit-filled circles are neglecting a whole half of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We accept Holy Spirit in us. Convict me. Speak to me. Lead me. But we neglect the whole half of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that is the Spirit with us. And the Bible says that he would be with us so that we could be witnesses of God. We could be witnesses to our neighbors and to our islands and even to the very ends of the earth. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to do. The power to be a witness. This is where the river of God, that life-giving power, begins to flow out and through us. And that's a promise for all who believe. That's a promise for all who believe. Is Minister Rylan here? Could you come and join me on the piano? And we're gonna close in a word of prayer. Holy Spirit is a life giver. Everybody say life giver. He wants to give life to you. Holy Spirit wants to live with and in us. And the third thing is he wants to empower us to be witnesses. That's not just life in us. That's life through us. That's the river. You know, there's a prophetic word in the book of Ezekiel. Dr. Morocco recently preached a great message on this thing. He talked about how there would be a day where from the altar of the Lord would flow this river. And it's where maybe you've seen the passage or you've heard other people talk about it. It's where, you know, people could get into the river and, you know, it'd flow up to their ankles, it'd flow up to their knees, it, you know, their waist, but there's a point that we could go into where you could go into the place of no return. You just get in there, your feet aren't touching the ground, and you just get swept away in the river. It's absolutely incredible. And the fact that the Holy Spirit today has been given, Jesus ascended, he's cleansed our souls, he's made us a vessel that is actually worthy to carry the Holy Spirit. And today that river is flowing. And what I want to give us the opportunity to do is maybe you're here and you need refreshing. You know, one day maybe God's going to use you and God's going to use you as a witness to other people. But today you say, you know what, Pastor? I need to be filled. I need to be refreshed. I need that life-giving power that Jesus said Holy Spirit would give me. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. We all have those moments where we desperately need it. Would you just stand all across this room right now? I had a moment just earlier this week. I shared a little bit on Thursday night. Man, my family's going through quite a bit at this point in time. And my wife and I have been just, I mean, we've been praying and we've been trying to work things out over the phone. you know, because I'm not physically close to a lot of my family here. And what was it, Thursday, I think? I came into the church and I was just working in the office here, and boy, I was so just heavy. My heart's breaking over situations in people's lives that I just love and I care so much about. And man, I prayed my heart, my guts out, and I needed refreshing. I needed refreshing. And Leah was there, and I just told her, like, you know, you just, can you give me some time? She went and she's, you know, began to work on some other things. You know what I did in that moment? I opened the Word of God, and all I read was one single verse. One verse. Roll your burdens on the Lord and He sustains you. And I just began to move. I put on some worship music in my office and I just began to pray in the Spirit and I began to worship the Lord. And, you know, it wasn't any time at all. It wasn't, you know, probably even 10 minutes. I just felt so, so refreshed. So encouraged, so renewed, so filled. And then all of a sudden I find that, you know, this little article that I've got to write, the message that I got to study for, man, my heart's full again. Because I have the Holy Spirit with me and in me. And all I have to do is say, Holy Spirit, would you refresh me again? I really need you right now. I need you to fill me. I need you to restore me. I need you to renew me in this moment. I need you. I need you, Holy Spirit. And he's never ignored my cry. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need that refreshing. I need that life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. The second reason you'd come down to this altar right now is you say, you know, Pastor, I want to be filled afresh. I want the Holy Spirit to anoint me because I don't just want to receive life, but I want to be a life giver. I want that Spirit to flow through me. I want the river of God to operate through everywhere I go, in school, in work, in my family, in my marriage, with my children, with my friends. I want the rivers of living water to literally gush forth from within me. You know what I'm going to promise you? On the authority of Scripture, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He's not going to leave. He's going to remain. I can see that you guys are ready. You're just ready for me to open these altars, aren't you? If either of those things fits your heart, you want a fresh touch, you want God to fill you, you want the river of God to flow through you, I want you to step out from where you're at, and I just want you to begin to fill this altar right now. Come on. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit. I sense your presence right now. And I ask you to come. I ask you to come. I ask you to come. Church, can I just want to introduce you right now to my friend, the Holy Spirit. I want you to meet Him and know Him the way that I do and even more. I want you to say this. You won't see this prayer in the Bible, but I want you to say this. Hi, Holy Spirit. Nice to meet you. Will you be my friend? Will you be with me? Will you be in me? Will you refresh me? Share your life with me? Would you be a river that flows through me to be a blessing and to share life with everybody that I come in contact with? Be with me. Don't ever leave me. In Jesus' name I pray. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, would you look down from heaven right now? We talked about this before I came into this service. Jesus, would you look down upon your sons and daughters? These who are here are eager to receive a touch from your Spirit, to be filled with your Spirit, to be anointed by your Spirit. And I ask you, Lord, would you fill us right now? Would you baptize us afresh right now in the mighty name of Jesus? Oh, we welcome you to come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you right now in Jesus' name. We welcome you right now, Holy Spirit. Would you come? Would you fill? Would you anoint? Surround us by your Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm just going to begin to move and lay my hands. Minister Rylan, could you sing a song right now? I want you to begin to talk to the Holy Spirit. Welcome Him. Invite Him right now.
Come, Jesus, come. Breath of heaven, nothing left unshaken. Come, Jesus, come. Fresh outpouring, tear the fabric open. Come, Jesus, come. Breath of heaven, nothing left unshaken. We long for more. We need a fresh outpouring. Unleash a fresh outpouring. Lord, we need a fresh outpouring. Unleash a fresh outpouring, Lord. We need a fresh outpouring. Unleash a fresh outpouring, Lord. Fresh outpouring. Unleash a fresh outpouring, Lord. There is fire stirring in our bones. Our shout is rising, rising up inside. Soak the earth. It's coming, fill our hearts. Your voice is calling, calling us to life. We need a fresh outpouring. Let's unleash a fresh outpouring, Lord. We need a fresh outpouring. Unleash a fresh outpouring, Lord. We need a fresh outpouring. Unleash a fresh outpouring, Lord. We need a fresh outpouring. Unleash a fresh outpouring, Lord. come, Jesus, come. Breath of heaven, nothing left unshaken. We long for more. Fresh outpouring, tear the fabric open. Come, Jesus, come.
Almighty God.
Breath of heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Nothing left unshaken. We long.
Hallelujah. And Lord, I even lift up all those who are joining us online. I just pray even right where they're at. There's people driving down the road listening to this message, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch them right now, right where they're at. Baptize them and fill them in great and mighty measure, Lord Jesus. Let us hear testimonies of how your Spirit came upon individuals. Even right in this moment, Jesus. You know, Holy Spirit's everywhere. One of the coolest testimonies, a number of years ago, we were praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to happen for people who are watching online. And we got a message from a lady who had been joining us online. She got slain in the Spirit while she was watching on her computer. How does that happen? I don't know. Holy Spirit is, He's everywhere. And you know what? He's with you. And if you'll let Him, He'll remain with you. Here's your assignment for this week. I'm going to bless us and then we're gonna be done. Your assignment this week. Let the rivers of living water flow. Let the river flow. You're going to feel a moment where you're prompted by the Spirit. Pray for this person. Maybe God wakes you up in the middle of the night. I want you to intercede over this situation. Send this person a message right now. Part of the reason we grow stagnant, and that water in our relationship feels stale, it's because you're not letting it flow. Break down the dam. Break down the wall. And let the Spirit flow through you. Amen? Amen. Would you just lift your hands as I pray a blessing over you right now? Holy Spirit, we thank you for your hand on every single one of our lives. We ask you to fill us and bless us. Walk with us, mighty God. Lead and direct us by your Holy Spirit. We want to be on assignment for you, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, even what you began right here today. Some might have felt great power come on the inside of them. Others might feel the trickle of water just begin to flow. But in either way, we're going to be a people that allow your Spirit to flow through us and give life everywhere we go. Speak to us. We will obey you, Lord. And I bless your people right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, God bless you, church. Hey, you better give about five people a hug before you take off here today, all right?